class, Prof. JC here, and this week we're in chapter 4, and what we're looking at is the active stage of movement into becoming an inclusive leader. So we've looked at the unaware stage, we've looked at the aware stage. How do we move through all of that? Understanding our privilege, understanding our biases, having humility, having empathy, all of that goes into this idea of being an inclusive leader. And so now in chapter 4, she talks about this. And one of the key things that she's going to talk about today is this idea of being vulnerable as a leader. So here's what she has to say. She says, in the active stage, I'm on page 65, you get off the sidelines. Okay. She comes down in the second paragraph and she says, in this stage, you embrace vulnerability. Okay. You share things about yourself in a more open and personal way. She comes down and she says in paragraph 3, in the active stage, you create and hold space for difficult conversations on topics including bias and racism and privilege and inequity, understanding that these conversations are already happening and that the people around you are impacted in a myriad of ways by the events unfolding in society and the world around them. And that's what this whole conversation has been about. For most of you on the call, you do have several elements of privilege that got you to where you are. And again, if we had an in-person class, we would talk about this. As a matter of fact, I'm teaching an in-person class right now, and we're looking at this idea of privilege and bias. And it was very uncomfortable the first 2 weeks talking about this and getting to the heart of it. And there were people in the class who refused to think that they had any kind of privilege, refused to think that they had any kind of bias, right? But after conversation, they're able to see that now and say, wait a minute, I actually do have privilege. And one of the things I would say too, it's never about apologizing for your privilege. I don't ever want to do that in this class and have people taking this course and feeling bad about themselves and feeling bad about their journey. That's not the point at all. But it is to understand that in life, more than likely, you have some sort of privilege, as do I. And it's not shaming that, but it's understanding where we come from. Okay. And then understand that there are people who will work for us, people on our teams who do not share the same privilege that you and I do. And there are people on our teams and good workers out there that we might hold some biases against. You know, in class last night, actually, we had one of the students say, and it was brilliant what she said. She said, it's not so much that it's wrong to hold bias because we all have bias. Okay. And so it's not so much that it's wrong to have that. And again, if we get into the mindset of shaming people for the bias they have, then we're going to be running into a lot of problems and we're going to be putting people on the defensive. So it's not shaming people for bias. It's understanding we have it, but it's what we choose to do with it. Am I aware of the bias and what do I do with that bias once I know that I have that bias? So again, in this active stage, it's creating and holding space, right? It's moving from more passive, just understanding and awareness and saying, we're going to take an active role in this. We're going to have the hard conversations, okay? And understanding that there are people around you who are impacted by this, maybe more than what you understand. In this stage, Jennifer Brown says, you understand the value of DEI in driving business results and in creating an equitable and inclusive workplace. And again, there's all kinds of data that looks at this issue of diversity, equity, and inclusion, especially diversity and inclusion. And how does diversity and inclusion help with this? For those of you who are for-profit leaders, how does it help you push that mission forward in creating greater wealth? She talks about this idea of leaning into vulnerability. And here's what she has to say. Because the road of inclusive leadership is so personal, with the intent to change minds and hearts, opening up and sharing more of ourselves, our personal stories, and our struggles and experiences is crucial. Today's employees, and this is key, you got to hear this. Today's employees want to connect personally with their leaders. They want to know that their lead, they want to know what their leaders think, what they stand for, and what they value. When leaders open up with vulnerability, share their stories and experiences, and tell us about their weaknesses and struggles, they appear more human, more approachable. We find them inspiring and easier to connect with. I was doing a training. There's a certain training I do with the consulting company that I work for, and I was doing it last week up in Denver, or up in Colorado Springs. And it's a tougher training for me to give. It's easier for the crowd. It's easier for the people who come to hear that training than it is for me to. It's easier for them. It's easier on them and for them than it is for me. And the reason why it is for me, this particular training, and it's all about emotional intelligence, it requires that I share more personal things about my life. Failures. There's one story I talk about, my you know, one of my most recent failures in the last 5 years that I've experienced, and talk about why I experienced that and what I learned through that. I talk about how I learned to, you know, how I learned the importance of gratitude. And I learned the importance of gratitude through failure. And so I share that whole story of failure and how I came to understand gratitude. But afterwards, what's pretty amazing to me, and it's humbling, is after those conversations, people will come up and say, that's one of the best trainings we've ever had. And I've sat here and tried to figure out, well, why is it one of the best trainings you've ever had? I think one of the primary reasons is that people are appreciative of me sharing with them my journey and sharing with them my failures, because that's the one thing that all of us in the room, we have in common. Every single one of us, they may not be sharing their failures with me, but they have them. And so they appreciate that. And so there's something about this idea of being vulnerable that really it breaks down walls between you and the people that you lead. And it really helps them to kind of see that you're a human too. You're a normal human with normal weaknesses and normal struggles. And that makes you more approachable to them. They understand you better. I don't know why it works the way it is, but there's something about the human psyche. You know, when we hear that somebody has had the same pain that we have, it makes us, it endears us to them, because now we recognize that they see themselves like we see ourselves, right? And so for leaders, that's important. As leaders, we work hard to present a facade of authority and certainty to organizations, and expressing vulnerability may feel like a weakness or a liability, but it's not. Vulnerability doesn't detract from a leader's capacity to inspire people. Instead, here's what she says, I think it augments in a powerful and transformative way. When leaders are willing to go first and openly and vulnerably share their struggles, their aha moments, even when such moments don't show them in the best light, they create safe space in which people who've been excluded or marginalized can share their experiences and have their points of view heard and discussed. Okay. Brené Brown talks a lot about this, about the power of being vulnerable. And here's what she says, that there's courage in being a vulnerable leader. And there's courage, number one, if we're finding ourselves in a situation where there's a need for vulnerability, there's courage in telling a story that reveals who we are. Telling something about our life, our story, our history, our biography, that reveals a little bit of who we are. And if we can't do that, then there's courage in asking the uncomfortable question that opens the door to great conversation. These are two ways that we can be vulnerable. Sometimes we have to just share, here's my story. But if we're not willing to do that, sometimes it means asking the question that maybe no one else wants to hear. In her, what I would call a groundbreaking book called Dare to Lead, Dr. Brené Brown, she's got a couple statements that she makes, and I want to read through those, you know, very quickly before we get to kind of our assignment for this week. She says here on page 67, leaders must either invest a reasonable amount of time attending to fears and feelings, or squander an unreasonable amount of time trying to manage ineffective and unproductive behavior. So you can deal with the fears, you can deal with the feelings, you can deal with the anxiety, or you can deal with the ineffective and unproductive behavior. So you can deal with the outcomes of the fear and the anxiety and the feelings, or you can go all the way back and you can say, I'm going to deal with those before it gets to the point where it's unproductive. And when we're talking about this idea of being an inclusive leader, in the workplace, there's going to be bias. There's going to be the elements of privilege. You can deal with that and the feelings around that, or you can deal with the lack of productivity and then the lack of profit or the lack of impact, the lack of effectiveness on the other side of it. So as a leader, it's almost like that saying out there that says, choose your pain, choose your hard. Everything is hard, right? You know, being lazy is hard. The outcome of being lazy is really hard. Choose that, right? Or the outcome of working hard is hard, is difficult, you know, choose that. If you want to be fit, that's going to be a lot of hard work. Choose that. Or if you want to be overweight, that's going to be a lot of hard work and that's going to be painful. So it's like, you know, choose your pain, choose your harm. So as a leader, as an inclusive leader, we have to choose the pain. Are we willing to sacrifice up front and deal with the feelings, deal with the issues, or are we going to wait till down the road? She says, what this means is that we must find the courage. We go back to that word courage, to get curious and possibly surface emotions and emotional experiences that people can't articulate or that might be happening outside of their awareness. If we find ourselves addressing the same problematic behaviors over and over, we may need to dig deeper to the thinking and feeling driving those behaviors. And then she ends up by saying this. This is, I actually circled this, and I think I wrote the word beautiful underneath it, because this final statement she makes in this chapter of her book really is, it speaks of why courage is important. And I think it also comes back to this idea of inclusive leadership, why all of this is important. And here's what she says. Daring leadership is ultimately about serving other people, not ourselves. That's why we choose courage. And I could change that word in there and say, inclusive leadership is ultimately about serving other people, not ourselves. This is why we choose courage. So in everything that we're talking about today, again, the courage that we talked about is sometimes telling a story that reveals who we are, or it's the courage to ask the uncomfortable question that opens the door to great conversations. So here's what I want you to do in this assignment today. I simply want you to think about the courage that you need, maybe in your own journey, you know, whatever that may be. And it's probably the courage to be vulnerable. And that doesn't mean that you make the workplace your therapy session. That's not what I'm talking about here. But there's two ways, and probably in your own leadership roles or whatever, it could be a personal role if you're not in a leadership role right now. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to show a little courage in our assignment today. And I want you to pick one of the two. I want you to tell a story that reveals something about who you are. And again, I want you to think about the people you work for, or think about your future leadership role. And maybe there's an issue that comes up and you've got to stand in front of people. You've got to write out a letter and you've got to, you know, talk your team through an issue. Well, I want you to start by looking at your own life and tell some kind of a story that reveals who you are. And here's what I'll tell you. Revealing who you are doesn't mean that you talk about your successes. I will tell you this over and over again. One of the worst things that leaders can do, or teachers or coaches, whatever, is just talk about all your successes. It's important that the people who follow you know that you've had some success. That's important as well. But if that's what you talk about, they're not going to understand you. They're not going to, you're not going to be able to create a space where other people can share their own failures and share what they struggle with. You've got to share something about yourself. Or what is an uncomfortable question that you need to ask? And I want you to think about your own role right now, wherever you are. What's that one uncomfortable question that you need to ask? Okay, so that's the assignment today. Tell a story that reveals who you are. And again, think about your workplace. And it doesn't have to be a long 5-paragraph story. It could just be a few sentences that you talk about. In this situation, I know I need to address this issue in my office or where I'm at, and here's a story I'm going to use. Or I know I need to address this issue in my office. Maybe it surrounds diversity. Maybe it surrounds inclusion. And then you say, here's the question that I'm going to ask. And it's probably going to be an uncomfortable question. I look forward to reading those. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you in next week's podcast. Thanks for doing a great job in this class, everybody. So proud of the work you're doing. I'll see you soon.